The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, it's Professor Beth Oljar.
Great to be here.
Excellent, as always. Mm-hmm. I love that I'm here on Fridays, and I see the background of your phone, even behind the app logos, is a pretty baby.
My sweet Mia.
So
my
cute. The expressiveness in those eyes, that's all I've got to say.
Well, she's losing some weight, I'm glad to say. Because she doesn't get kibble anymore, and she's playing more.
Okay.
But she definitely wants a kitty friend.
Aw. Well, we're going to have to...
All right, well, we're going to find one.
We're probably going to get her one or two again next summer. Yeah.
Three or
I
four.
I want more cats, you know. I want to be the crazy cat lady at the end of Secret Life of Pets,
want
too.
To be. You already are.
Dan, what were you showing just a second ago?
I have the spreadsheet where I calculated 293. I have done this problem before.
Oh, you've done it before.
I knew it.
Oh, my
Wait,
gosh.
Wait, I've got
hilarious.
A spreadsheet for that. That should be Tom's line.
That is... Great.
I've got a spreadsheet for that.
293 is
ATP
such a random number.
ATP coin problem.
What, you got a file for us now?
I keep
Absolutely
all this stuff.
Absolutely, he does.
I'm more interested. Sorry, I'll take my time.
No, that's good. Go ahead, Dan. Professor Dan Maggio
I'm not necessarily
here.
Interested in getting to the number as much as how you do it.
Yeah.
So I'm really interested in the process, how you break it down.
The process is always more fun than the final.
So, well, it'd be an extended probability problem, right? Because you could get to 100
kind of
this way or that way or that way or like, that way or that way or that way.
And I didn't use
and you gotta figure
combinations
out
or permutations. It's more of like a counting principle type problem.
Oh, okay.
That's cool.
Actually,
I think that's cool.
Let me look at this a little closer. I'll provide an update by the end of the show.
Let's do this mathematically. Unbelievable.
I don't think I literally just... listed out all the possibilities. I probably use there's patterns so you can take advantage of Excel. And
that's cool.
All right.
Professor Dave Chow is here, and I'm going to ask him, when was the last time he used Excel?
Never. Never.
Really?
I don't.
I didn't expect you to say that, actually.
No, I don't use Excel.
I thought you might use it for
No, actually, the
billing purposes
school will send
something.
Me a list as far as like Noel Night attendees on
an
Excel spreadsheet.
See. That makes sense.
Ah, okay.
And I have to, but the thing is, I print that out because I'm just not a huge fan of Excel.
Of course.
I don't blame you.
So I just use the check. Okay, here, kid, you got a table. Check, 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 and that's all I do with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What's Excel?
Exactly.
I'm kidding.
Well, it was used to be, the other version was Quattro Pro.
Quattro.
Which is what I started when I started working
there
here.
There we go.
Yeah.
I remember Quattro. I remember WordPerfect.
Me too.
Oh, I do too. I liked WordPerfect.
I like WordPerfect.
I wrote a whole dissertation in that.
I did too.
I kind of was rooting for WordPerfect, and then Microsoft took over.
Yep.
I know.
It was from Orem, Utah.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right. We've already heard the dulcet tones of Professor Jim Tubbs across the table.
Hello.
I guess we're doing Excel today. So what was your last Excel spreadsheet all about?
I think it was church budget stuff.
Oh,
but before
I'm so
that,
sorry.
it was scheduling for our class.
Oh, jeez.
As a department chair.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now we have a new thing called Course Dog.
Course Dog, mm-hmm. Rough.
I haven't learned
Tom
how
Tom likes
to use
it a lot
yet.
Better.
It's reasonable, but it actually has every bell and whistle, which makes it kind of funky. So, yeah. Mm. You got to ignore a lot of the things flashing around you and go to the thing you actually need.
I can't wait until Gail teaches me about that.
Good luck. Good luck. You'll
Good
be fine.
Luck, yes.
You'll be fine.
I am so glad I don't have to
You're
learn these new things anymore.
You're not making me
want to
be chair here,
Sorry.
Guys.
Professor Stephen Manning has already feigned the ignorance of Excel.
You do it well.
I'm wondering but he knows what it is.
I'm wondering if the guy who runs my golf league.
Yeah, he could.
He's an engineer and an accounting guy.
Data.
He loves numbers, though. But every week, he's got to recalculate everybody's. And there are like 50 or 60 people in this league, the senior golf league.
Oh, that's a lot.
And not everybody plays every single week. Because a lot of scores, a lot of numbers, and he's constantly recalculating your average because... You have to know what the average is so you know what the handicap is with your opponent for that week, how many strokes you have to give.
Right.
And then he had this new thing that he's only counting the last five rounds. So rather than all your rounds up to that date.
But this is great. So he's like a one button press and then immediately gets everything.
I think so.
He
just
needs.
Punches the numbers in week after week and it produces the new averages and stuff. Yeah.
There's one in every group.
What so I'm assuming he's using Excel, although I don't know, but how else would he do it?
Makes sense.
He can't be doing
Could
this
be
by
using
hand.
Quattro. You know,
could be.
Oh, word perfect.
Got to wait for the computer to boot
writing
up.
Writing myself
minutes.
Directions on how you do it embedded is, formulas in Quattro. Okay I remember.
It is a senior golf link. Okay. So he may be using Quattro.
Okay, it's possible.
Yeah.
Those are the dulcet tones of Professor Heather Hill, who also looks pretty good in forest green today.
Thank you. I am wearing a shirt that Beth got me for my birthday.
Likes to play in the dirt. Yes. She does like to play in the dirt.
I do like to play
we're,
in the dirt.
We're transitioning into a different kind of planting season. Mm-hmm. And everybody's getting their mums out and stuff like that.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I actually ordered some mums from
Oh, she's getting her mums out, all right.
Kendra's daughter.
Oh, you did? Yeah, yeah no, that's
yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
One of those coming in, by the way. Kendra.
I know. Where's Kendra?
Are the girls
Jeez.
Doing that for Girl Scouts?
I think so.
It's like
yeah.
Scouts, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, mum season and then.
Nice.
It'll be time to plant bulbs after first frost.
Unbelievable.
For the spring.
Before we know it. Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. If you don't stump the panel, you win a prize too. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. Email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram. And or Instagram, or listen to your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. You know who sent us just a whole ton of questions all over the joint and fun, fun stuff?
No, who?
A all over the joint, fun, fun guy. Hank Durkin sent
hey,
us
Hank.
These questions.
Hey, Hank.
Thank you so much for sending these in. We've had things like this before, and they're just always good for a chuckle because after the fact, they make sense. Common diner lingo terms. Thank you, Alice. Mm-hmm. And we've had a few of these before, but a few we haven't, so this should be pretty interesting. Adam and Eve is the baseline for what main diner dish?
Ham.
It's not ham.
Something to do with eggs.
It's eggs. It's That's poached right. okay. eggs okay. is what it is.
Okay, gotcha.
But if I ask for Adam and Eve on a raft, something else
toast.
Is coming
toast.
With it. Yeah. Coming with toast. What should you do if I ask for Adam and Eve on a raft, but wreck them?
With eggs.
Scrambled.
Scrambled. Yeah.
Or you can break the yolks over the toast before it is served. Absolutely. How would you do that? Adam and Eve on a log.
Sausage.
Add a sausage.
Snausage.
Add a sausage. Burn the Brits.
Burn the Brits?
Something with the tea or the coffee?
In the Brits.
Every time I feel like it is the most
bangers
obvious
and
thing.
That. It
no.
can't be bangers and mash.
Burn the Brits.
Burn the Brits.
What? Burn, spell that.
Was it
Just
hash
burn
browns?
The Brits. B-U-R-N. That's all.
Hash browns over.
No.
I don't know. Broil bangers?
Nope.
Blood sausage?
Is it beak?
Can't do that.
Beans?
Make the toast extra crispy?
I mean, you're as close as anybody's been. Just toast an English muffin is all
oh.
it means.
Oh,
yeah,
oh
so.
English muffin.
Oh, English muffin.
Yeah. Oh, Brit. Oh, English
muffin.
Jeez. Yeah. Boy, we're dumb. Mm-hmm.
Eve with a lid on.
Eve with
an
a...
Egg with a...
Soft-boiled egg?
No, it's no longer eggs at this point. It's oh. just Eve. Oh. So that would be reminiscent of what foodstuff?
Just Eve? Egg whites?
Mm-mm.
Not eggs.
Wrong
really.
Direction?
Not eggs.
French toast.
Mm-mm.
Waffles.
It's a dessert. It's the classic American dessert.
Vanilla
apple pie?
Ice cream?
Apple,
no,
pie.
Apple pie.
Eve with a lid on. Now we're going back
How
to...
How is that apple pie?
No, because Eve ate the apple.
Oh.
She did take a bite
that's
from
right.
the apple.
Okay.
It's a reach, but... You know.
I know, but understand
I
how
on,
Adam and
oh,
Eve can
cover?
Be an egg.
The pastry
egg.
On top.
Because I was eating ice cream on top.
That also doesn't make sense.
Well, apparently one name can refer to two different things.
Clearly. Clearly.
What?
Really?
No,
yes.
Very,
it's
very
confusing.
When did that
life is confusing.
I'd be like, can I just order off the menu?
Yeah, Adam and Eve with a Klingon or something like that, right?
Just hold up the picture. This one.
Give me the number two.
Number two, yeah.
I
exactly.
can remember people ordering when I was working at Dairy Queen. They'd point to the, like, I want that burger. And I'm like, okay.
Sure. I miss Taco Bell with the phonetic spelling. Or, you know, remember those things? Taco, burrito.
Yep.
Oh, that's right.
Those were the days. Dave, you already gave this
I did?
As an answer for a different one, but Noah's Boy would be a
ham.
Serving of ham. Yep, that's good.
Noah's Boy.
Noah's son.
Yep, Noah's son was named
Ham.
Ham,
Shem, and Jacob.
Oh, that's right. Ham. Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
What's a red bow wow? Don't think too hard.
Hot dog.
With
ketchup.
With ketchup.
Ketchup, yes.
Ketchup.
Sweep up the kitchen is a classic example. Not drag through the garden. Didn't say that.
What did you say? I'm sorry. What was it?
Sweep up the kitchen is a hash. Like you're just putting a lot of things in a skillet, which is catching on again.
That would explain why I don't like them.
That's all right. That's all right. On the hoof would be a very specific way to serve a steak.
A very rare steak. Yeah,
still attached to the animal. That's
I always like that Rodney Dangerfield
joke.
That
is horrible.
I can see where the jockey whipped my steak.
Texture of that, just I can't tolerate. It's not a taste thing so much.
What are we talking about now?
Rare steak.
Oh. The chewiness of it just...
Well, steak tartare is actually quite good.
If it was once on a living animal, I want it dead and cooked.
Tuna tartare
before I
eat
it
as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm just old-fashioned like that.
Who is the only? So now we're going to a more fully fleshed out question set. Sorry, we're all set.
Hank?
It's still Hank though, because he's the man. He sent me like, and
I'm
not joking.
I assume Hank is coming to homecoming.
Absolutely,
yeah, he just had a birthday last week.
Yep.
Oh,
right.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He sent like 7 question sets. So he's
that's
the man.
That's why we call him Homecoming Hank.
Homecoming Hank. Who is the only born and bred in the city of Detroit baseball player who entered the Baseball Hall of Fame as a Tiger?
Al Kaline.
It wasn't Al Kaline. He wasn't originally from Detroit.
Norm Cash.
Wasn't Norm Cash.
Wasn't Ty Cobb?
Mm-mm. Wasn't Ty Cobb. Ty Cobb grew up in Georgia.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The Georgia Peach.
Yep. I could give it away easily for those who know their baseball. He is one of the statues in right field at Comerica Park.
Willie Horton?
Nope.
No.
His nickname was the Prince.
Hal Newberg?
Ooh, you're so close.
It's Hal Newhauser.
Hal Newhauser is who it is. Prince Hal Newhauser.
I'm mashing them together. I'm sorry.
The only pitcher who's ever won back-to-back MVPs. He lived in Woodbridge. He went to the predecessor of Murray Wright High School, now Frederick Douglass Academy, which is in the shadow, of course, of Old Tiger Stadium and our School of Dentistry. So it's kind of a nice little
I like that.
Local person does well.
Cool little
right?
factoid.
Mm-hmm. What was the name of the B-29 Super Fortress bomber that dropped Little Boy, the atom bomb, on Hiroshima, 6th of August, 1945?
Enola Gay.
Yes. Do you remember what the ship, you know, it was a plane, was named after?
The mother of Paul Tibbetts?
The mother of the pilot. That's right. Exactly. Her name was Enola Gay Tibbetts.
Mother of all bombs.
Mm-hmm.
The Moab.
Difficult history. Ooh.
Oh.
What was the name of the B-29 Superfortress bomber that dropped Fat Man on Nagasaki 3 days after August 6th?
Boxcar?
Boxcar.
B-O-C-K-S.
B-O-C-K-S-C-A-R. Exactly correct.
I did not know that.
Because the original pilot, when the plane was delivered to the Army, was Captain Frederick Bock. Pilots got to name their planes. For the Nagasaki mission, the pilot was Major Charles Sweeney. So Boxcar, in other words.
And we know the name of the ship that delivered some of
the Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh,
that's
did you hear about the dedication of the plaque at the Sarkle Museum?
Uh-oh.
That was tough.
Oh, man.
Well, captain was finally
exonerated.
Yeah.
Posthumously. Yeah, posthumously.
Poor guy.
Mm-hmm. Miscellaneous.
Oh.
Multiple choice. I'm going to give you 4 possible definitions for what a Jiffy is, J-I-F-F-Y, a commercial muffin mix,
yes.
The amount of time it takes for light to travel a centimeter,
sure.
The time between 2 ticks of the system timer interrupt in a computer, the factor used to synchronize a computer game's video with a TV video refresh rate.
A.
I know Jiffy Mix is a...
Right.
Is
the first one is right for sure.
FYI, underneath the correct answer, it says, my wager is that Professor Dubs will guess A immediately. That is creepy-tastic.
Well, no, I think we all knew.
For the record, all of those things are nicknamed.
Are Jiffy.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Then there should have been an all of the above.
In a Jiffy.
There should have been.
Yeah, Hank.
There should have been. Jiffy is, that's Chelsea, Jiffy. Michigan, right? Mm-hmm. Where Jiffy Mix is made?
Yeah, I have.
Cornbread mix is pretty good.
Yeah.
It is. I like
it. We throw that into a waffle maker all the time and then serve chili over it. It's fantastic.
Ooh.
Oh, it's yummy.
What's the common thread? Philly, Kansas City, Seattle, Milwaukee, St. Louis, Baltimore.
Baseball team moves?
Yeah, baseball.
Baseball moves. The first was the A's, continue to move. Seattle Pilots became the Milwaukee Brewers, and the St. Louis Browns became the Baltimore Orioles, or the Balmore Orioles, Balmer. For the people Balmer. Who are from around Balmer. There.
Balmer.
In the same vein, what was the origin of these Detroit professional teams? The Detroit Lions started as the what?
Was it Portsmouth?
The Portsmouth.
What were
they? Tiny Lions?
No.
The Cubs?
Tigers.
No.
Doggone, I was just down at the exhibit.
Portsmouth, too. Ohio is where the franchise actually relocated to Detroit, and they were called the somethings.
The Ponies. Portsmouth.
Oh, what were they?
They were not the Ponies.
I can see
it's
the
actually
logo
the same as a very, very famous local college mascot.
Titans?
Bears?
Spartans? It's the Spartans, actually, is what it said. Portsmouth Spartans. How about the Pistons? Where did they originate from?
Fort Wayne.
Fort Wayne, Indiana.
And what were their what was their nickname?
It's not the Comets. It's the Fort Wayne.
I'm going to build up as much suspense as I can.
Dun, dun, dun. I'm waiting for the tape to explode any minute.
Unfortunately, they were just the Pistons when they were down there, too. So, yeah.
Boring.
Wasn't the best drama. Detroit team names, too. The Red Wings started in Detroit, but had two other names before 1932.
Cougars and the Falcons?
The Wings. What were the discarded names? The Cougars and the Falcons. They went from cat to bird to non-living object. Yes, the winged wheel. The Tigers, of course, started out as the Tigers. But what was the name of Detroit's Negro League team?
Stars.
The Stars, they were called. Yes, the Detroit Stars. Before the Tigers, Detroit had a National League team in the 1880s. So this is a long time ago, folks. But do you know that they were the World Series champ of 1887?
So you're asking, what was their nickname?
Mm-hmm.
1887.
Another local college nickname. Slightly bigger than Spartans.
Titans?
Not Titans.
Wolverines.
The Wolverines. They were known as the Wolverines. Yep.
Is there another choice?
I don't know.
Bigger than Spartans.
The Tartars, Dan. Yeah.
The Warriors.
That's what we were going for.
The Chips.
The
Chips. Ooh. We all know Detroit gets its name from the French word détroit for the strait. What is the origin of these city names? Special for Beth. Portland, Oregon. Where does that name come from?
Were they a port?
Where all the lands come together in a port.
Or it is a port. Or did somebody from Maine just kind of like, eh?
But I think it's someone's name.
That's not what it says. Okay. Actually, Dave got it right. In 1843, the city was founded on land owned by Francis W. Pettigrove of Portland, Maine. And each wanted to name the city after his hometown. So they basically flipped a coin, and he won. And so they named it after Portland.
There's not two Pettigroves. There's two Portlands.
There we go.
Exactly. Yeah. That's
mine's
right.
Better.
Yeah.
I've never been to the one in Maine, but mine's better.
It is. I like it better.
It's bigger.
You've been
for
to
sure.
Both?
Yes.
There we go.
The one in Maine is pretty good, too.
You actually get to have an opinion.
They don't have lobsters at the Oregon one.
Lobster.
Gilbert's Chowder House.
But they have Dungeness crabs.
Well, that's kind of delicious.
It's a coast. Yeah. That's all that matters to me.
No, they are good.
But it's not actually on the Pacific Ocean.
True.
I mean, it's quite inland.
Yeah.
And you've got hills and a nice funicular in Portland.
And a great bookstore.
The Powerball is up to $1.4 billion.
Oh, jeez.
I was looking at homes in Lincoln City, Oregon. I was looking at homes on the Oregon. Ken Kesey's house got sold for $75,000 more than the asking price.
Just buy it. It could be the Beth Oljar Chass building.
Well, Drew's like, the house would have to be big enough so we could have people come visit us. And I'm like, that'd be fine.
That'd be cool.
You clean it. That'll work.
Maid service.
I'd never clean a house again.
How did Cleveland, Ohio get its name?
Grover Cleveland?
It was not Grover Cleveland.
Elmer Cleveland.
Grover, Elmer.
Sir Elmer Cleve.
Pretty classy, let me tell you.
It must have been named after somebody.
It was named after a person, a very important
Beaver Cleave.
Person.
Like a governor or a mayor?
Not a governor, not a politician, but...
Warden June? Oh, no.
That's Cleaver.
Oh, close enough. Did he own the land?
Nope. Mm-mm. Oh. They decided to name themselves after General Moses Cleveland, a general from Connecticut during the American Revolution.
Oh, that Moses. Jeez.
And in the same vein... that I learned this when I was growing up. Berkeley, Michigan, not too surprisingly, is named after Berkeley, California, but they are spelled differently. Mm-hmm. We basically, the joke was, left that extra E off the charter and now we don't have it. They misspelled General Moses Cleveland's name, C-L-E-A-V-E-L-A-N-D, on the city charter, and that's why it is Cleveland.
And the philosopher who has the E in his name is pronounced Barkley, not Berkeley.
Mm-hmm. See?
Or Broccoli.
There we go.
Barkley Square.
So every place with that name in England, it's Barkley.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
But then there's Berklee College of Music in Boston, which is B-E-R-K-L-E-E.
Yes.
Mind blown.
Cooperstown, New York. Special message to Professor Manning. Yeah. Oh. Home to the Baseball Hall of Fame, but not named for Milwaukee first baseman Cecil Cooper.
James
or
Fenimore
1942
Cooper?
NL MVP Mort Cooper. Not named for his kid brother Walker Cooper. They both played together on the St. Louis Cardinals for three consecutive seasons and three consecutive World Series. It was James Fenimore Cooper.
Yeah.
As Jim said.
He was a big New Yorker.
Yep.
That's right.
Technically, ultra technically, the James Fenimore Cooper that was James Fenimore Cooper, the author's father, who was a local to the area.
Mm. Oh.
The big hair movie. Mm-hmm. The movie where everyone has big hair.
Yep.
It's called Everything. I will find you. You stay alive, no matter what.
How about Baton Rouge, Louisiana?
Because every state needs a town named Red Stick.
Partial credit.
I'll buy that.
Partial credit.
Probably
what was
Indian.
The red stick that they found? It was native. What was the red stick so important for when the French found it there?
It's a peace stick.
Conjuring.
It was less peace, Heather, and more
war.
Whoa.
Yeah.
A war stick.
Not the war stick, but the border stick between two tribes. It was like, do not cross the red stick. So why not call it Baton
Don't
Rouge?
Jump the red stick.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that at least one person at the table knows the origin of the very, very interesting Truth or Consequences, New Mexico.
Bob Barker?
Oh. The price
no.
is wrong.
The price is wrong. Bleep.
Is that in Arizona, if I remember right?
It's in New Mexico.
Truth and Consequences.
Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. Yes.
Wasn't it named like something else at that point and they had to rename it?
I mean,
the host of that game show born there or something, and they named it after him?
All very, very close.
Wasn't it like named Santa Claus, and then they changed the name? I can't remember.
Original name at founding was Hot Springs, New Mexico. They voted to change their name in March 1950 because the NBC radio show Truth or Consequences announced it would air its 10th anniversary show from the first town that renamed itself.
Oh, okay.
Pandering.
Yep. And the program was broadcast from there the following couple days. The host of the show visited the town every May for the next 50 years, and they kept the name to 2025. They did not switch back or anything.
Wait,
it's still
like so we can put ourselves out there. If there's a town willing to name themselves, Ask the Professor, we'll show up.
That is literally Hank's last note.
Oh.
Suggestion. Detroit Mercy should petition the city of Detroit to rename itself Ask the Professor Michigan.
I love it.
Yeah, let's go.
And the fact that you all are on the same wavelength is like blowing my mind.
Yeah, share one brainstem.
Blowing my mind. Okay. We've got to do this. We've got Leslie and I were just talking about it in the car yesterday. We were just talking about it. If you had the chance to take the lump sum at, by the way, that would be approximately $630 million lump
Chump
sum.
Change.
For
lump
Powerball?
Sum for Powerball. Or you could just get the $1.8 billion over many, many years. What would each professor buy with that kind of money? Burroughs imponderable.
Yeah, see, we used to play in school. You had 24 hours. You had to describe what you were
doing. Oh, like Brewster's Millions.
Yeah, you had 24 hours, or your first major purchase would be...
That is a... ungodly amount of money. Want to divest myself from most of it as quickly
You'd
as
have to
possible.
Hire people to manage it for you.
Yes, you would.
I told Marcy she'd be the fourth person I'd let know.
one, two, and three?
The accountant, the financial planner,
the
and
lawyer.
Okay, right. The lawyer. Yep, yeah. There you go.
Before, hey, honey, guess what? You know?
It's already taken care of.
Yes, exactly.
What would you do?
I'd buy a house on the Oregon coast.
There you go.
Go home and look at the ocean every day.
And that would be
fall asleep to the sound of the tide coming in, which is my favorite thing to do.
I think the first thing I would do is probably replace the food that USAID let rot on the dock.
Oh, dear.
I got three pinball machines and send it where it was
supposed to go. He has to do like the morally good thing. Yeah, you notice I did not say the morally good thing.
But you would do that second. You know, you can do a lot of things. Yeah.
I would give a lot of it away.
And you end up looking terribly selfish after Jim.
Well, no. She did say she'd give a lot of it away before she mentioned the house on the Oregon coast.
You could save a little bit to buy a house. I mean, come on.
Oh, sure.
See, mine would be first. I'd have three pinball machines delivered to my driveway. Then I'd set up a foundation to manage all this.
It would take a long time to spend that much money.
It would take a
like Miguel Cabrera time.
Yes.
I thought that one of the first things I would do, and it could be Detroit Mercy, I don't know, is to like give it to a school in such a way that if they could possibly manage, not necessarily that amount of money, but like make it so, like, for the next 10 years, there's no tuition bills for every student.
That'd be nice. Awesome. Yeah.
Do you want to get it out of the rush? Way. People would be applying left and right, but then you get the cream of the crop.
I don't know. So, free education.
I think I would try to fund somebody's political campaign for a certain high office in this country.
That seems like a reasonable thing to do.
Try to get us back on course,
back on track.
And then I think I would buy the house that is right next door to ours, take down the house and then make it expand it into a bigger garden.
Like a super yard?
Yeah.
A greenhouse.
Wow.
With lots of flowers.
You have to have your own awesome greenhouse for sure.
Seriously.
Yes.
All right, we haven't heard from Dan. We haven't heard from Steven.
I mean, it's the same thing everybody else said. About a nice house. Figure out how to give it away in a meaningful way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, I had a crazy thought. I would give it away, you know, like set up the foundation, take the interest, give it to 10 artist friends and then have them judge. And then after they receive the money, they're responsible for handing it further and further down the pipe.
Sure. Oh, paying it forward.
So, Beth, here's $1 million for you. Do it as you please. And then whoever you choose.
Why the heck not?
So, Matt, what was Leslie's pick?
You know, Leslie and I immediately said that we both went to the same high school. It'd be nice to throw some money their way. It's like, what about, you know, I've worked for Detroit Mercy now for half of a decade. And
half of a decade,
25 years. So,
a decade is 10 years.
A century. Thank you. Half of a half. I've only been here 2.5 years.
I've been here more than a third of a century.
Yeah,
I'll be here year 30 next year.
That's right. But then she said that she wanted to actually give a lot to Cranbrook. And I'm like, you know, you've only worked there 10 years. But she had some ideas for the things in her area, historical resources that are extremely underfunded. And I'm like, of course.
I bet.
Props, I'm so sorry. We always have fun with those imponderables. So thanks again to Frank and the Family Burrows for sending him our way. But the time has come to say goodbye, Heather.
Bye.
Steven.
Goodbye.
Jim.
Goodbye.
Dan.
Goodbye.
Dave.
See ya.
And Beth.
Goodbye.
Now these words...
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo. Thank you.